I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning that we get to come and worship you and to give you all the glory. Lord, would you help us to see the ways that we give you glory and how we live and how we think and what we pursue. Lord, we ask that you would continue to open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, Lord, your Spirit talking. Lord, as we look at your love story today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been doing this kind of season, not surprising, but calling the Christmas story and the journeys. And we talked about the journey of hope. And today I want to talk about the journey of peace. It just, that's, you know, what is peace? You know, you think about peace of, you know, maybe no hostility, absence of wars or violence. Everybody just, would you just all just get along? You know, whether it's in your home or with friends or even in a church. Peace. Peace. Peace that reflects order. It reflects an absence of hostility, settled, hopeful, content. How's your peace? How's your peace? I want to take a look at a few places in the Bible that talks about that what peace looks like, what it flows out from. The first place I want to look is the peace of Abraham. Peace of Abraham. That sounds like funny. Not okay, right? We're going to talk about peace, the settledness, the peace of Abraham. Genesis 15, 12 through 15. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age." So here we hear this story as God meeting Abraham in a deep, dark sleep. You know, I just think this is not the definition of a good night's sleep. It's like that deep darkness, you know, that just the dread of what is covering him. It's interesting, in the previous chapter, the Lord had just finished telling Abraham, this place that you're standing, all of this land, as far as you can see, I'm going to give to you. And then he follows up with old and childless Abraham, that I'm going to give you a descendant. Come outside and look at the stars and count them if you can. I'm going to give you that many descendants to old and childless Abraham. And now he falls into this sleep, and then he gets told these things that are going to come to him. I just think of this process of having no descendants to now he's going to have so many that then they get sent to this other nation and for 400 years become slaves. And then they leave with great possessions. But Abraham, you're going to die at a good old age in peace. And I'm thinking, what you just told me, God, there is nothing peaceful about that. First of all, I did not get a good night's sleep. There was an uncomfortableness about that. And yet, you won't see any of it, Abraham. It's interesting because he said, you will die at an old age in peace. That word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. And some of you guys have heard that, right? Hebrew, shalom. I love in the Chosen, they say shalom, shalom. It's like peace, peace. And to talk about that wholeness, the completeness of the kind of peace, completely at rest, without any striving. And he says, that's how you're going to die, Abraham. Let's jump ahead to what God said after Abraham was willing and ready and set to sacrifice his son, which is like this son of the promised, Isaac, that he gave, that was his future, what he hoped for. And God said, I want you to sacrifice him. And Abraham follows through and he's ready to kill him, if you know the story. And God says, stop. In Genesis 22, we're going to hear God's response, verse 17 to 18. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies, as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. It's that promise that God gave Abraham, that all the nations of the world, all peoples would be blessed through his offspring. Do you know who his offspring is? Christ. It's Jesus. That's who God was telling Abraham was going to come, is that he was going to bless all people, and that promise is still being fulfilled today. That you and I are in church today because we have been invited into relationship with his son. That we're living that promise. We are the result of what Abraham was told. And he didn't see any of it. Abraham was on a journey of peace. And that journey would lead him to die in peace. And you can see his life. He was not at peace. If you know the story of him, God telling him, and then he knows that Sarah ain't having no kid. She's old. And he's old. And so she said, okay, I believe we're going to make it ourselves, make our God's blessing ourselves. And so she has him sleep with their maidservant Hagar. And they have the kid. And God says, that's not the promise I'm talking about. I'm going to give you a son. You are going to have a son. And so as Abraham sees that all take place over time, and everything he touches turns to gold. He was an extremely wealthy man. Even when he would lie and say, hey, she's my sister, people would find out and say, hey, why did you lie to us? And they would say, we're going to ask you to leave, but here's lots of stuff to go with you and leave and be blessed. And he died a very wealthy man. He died in peace because he believed that God would provide the sacrifice. God would be his provider. Because that was part of the story. As he got ready to kill his son, God says, stop. And he looks up in the thicket and he sees a ram's horn stuck in there. And he says, there's your sacrifice. I will provide. And that goes ahead to why Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross was so important, that was a picture that God would provide. Isaac's son wouldn't accomplish anything. The death of Isaac would not have accomplished anything. What it did accomplish was it accomplished a purity of heart in Abraham to say, I will give my hope to you. I will give my ability to make my dreams come true to you, Lord, because I trust you. He died in peace because he knew God was going to provide the sacrifice. He died in peace because he knew God would complete what he promised. He says, listen, my son, we could not have kids, and yet we had a kid. If God can do that impossible thing, and he blessed me the way he said he would, everything that he said, he's going to complete. And is that part of the thing? I love the word striving. I'm a striver. You know, most of us as young people, we are striving. We're striving for a relationship. We're striving to get married. We're striving for a career. We're striving for identity. We're striving for importance. We're striving for friendships. We're striving for meaning. And you and I, we cannot make a thing happen in our life. All we can do is respond to it. And in that place of responding and honoring and giving glory to God, he blesses us. Those things we talked about. But it isn't blessing like provision, although God provides. It's a blessing that satisfies us. That peace that says, I'm not in control. You are God. And you will complete what you finished. To finally just settle in, and I talk about being comfortable in your own skin of who God called you to be, to go, okay, God, I can't make this happen. All I can do is allow you to do a transforming work in my heart so how I interact with people reflects who you are. How I walk out my life of faith, how I deal with problems reflects who you are, saying, I am at peace. I am at peace. How's your journey of peace going? Will you die in peace? I'm going to talk about the peace of Abraham. I'm going to talk about the peace of Israel from Numbers 6, 22 to 27. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his son, this is how you are to be a blessing. This is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. The Lord bless you and keep you. To be blessed by God is to be provided for and protected. To be kept by the Lord. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. To be blessed by God is to bring him pleasure and joy. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Shalom. To be blessed by God is to receive the Lord's active will for good. To be blessed by God is to experience his character. Think about all those things that who God is. Gracious. Forgiving, faithful, creative, a planner. All those things that we get to experience to be blessed by God is to enjoy the aspects, all aspects of his character. God is a blessing. It's almost like the essence of God. We think of God as love. But God is also a blessing. To be in relationship with him is to be blessed by God. Kind of like, you know, just being around him, we get the overflow of his goodness. The closer we are to him, the more that we experience that goodness of who he is. The peace of God is a gift, not something we earn. It's not something that you, again, like you talk about striving. It's like, I can't get this for myself. I need to just trust God and allow him to bless me and give me what I need. The peace of God is a gift and it's a reflection of God's character and his promises. That's what Abraham got a hold of and why he could die in peace, not having realized everything that God promised him. That's why he started his journey, you know, as an old man. God called him to a new land, a new place to go that God was going to show him, even though Abraham didn't know where it was. Come this way, come with me, and I will show you. That was what's so amazing about why Abraham is highlighted as the father of Israel, of all who believe, because he didn't have to know what the future held. He just knew that God called him to that place. When we draw close to God, we are blessed with his favor and his peace. I think about just lots of opportunity. I think about, you know, whether going to a retreat or what a marriage conference with my wife, and we go and we're just like loving each other and life is good. We've talked about things, and no sooner you start driving home and start talking about life, you start snapping at each other. I'm like, wait a minute. We were like so in love and things were so good, and now we're getting all cranky at each other? It's like I think about all the opportunities of peace. You know, we can be at peace and the angels are singing and then somebody breaks something. It's like, what is going on? I think about all those opportunities that we have for peace to be stolen from us and distracting us and sicknesses or finances or broken relationships or our own sinful choices that we make that rob us of that blessing and peace. I think about the gift of peace. I call it the great exchange. I see it in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We get to exchange our every anxious, anxiety-prone thought and give it to God. That's what we do. I think about that when any of the Bible says do not do, but do, the do not do is because that's where our flesh lives. When it says do not be anxious, we have anxiety. You know, to me, my anxiety sometimes comes from my lack of being in control. I want to manage every little situation. And God says, give me your desire and your tension, your striving of trying to be in control in all those situations with prayer mixed in with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, those things we talk about for His faithfulness. Thankful for His provision. Thankful that it's so good to go back and that old song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Go back and see how God has met you before. That is so important because that ends up being the basis for a faith that grows for this next season that you get to experience. As we give God thanks for His love, His patience, His discipline, His presence, His encouragement, something amazing, something supernatural happens. What does it say? It says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know how you know you have the peace of God? Do you know how you know? Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any earthly sense. It's like, yeah, how can you be at peace? You're in a mess, man. You don't know. You could lose your house. You could lose your job. You could whatever. How can you be at peace? Because I've given it to the Lord. I am fighting that temptation to take control of it, to manage it, to fix it, to manipulate it so that things go like I want. I don't know about you, but whenever I try to manage things, it usually doesn't go very well. When I try to fix things, people get mad. As I give it to God. God is the one who changes hearts. God is the one who accomplishes what is good and right. The peace of God only happens when we relinquish that control to Him. Say, God, that's the whole idea, right? Take those things that we want to control. And we're anxious because it's that contradiction. We're anxious because it's something we want to control. And we're anxious because we realize we can't control it. If you have anxiety, that's what's going on. You're like, I am trying to control something that I cannot control. When we realize that we cannot control it, we experience the peace of God. Say, God, somebody needs to be in control of it. I'm certainly not. God, You are in control. I want to trust You. And then releasing control guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Guards our heart from setting our affections on anybody else but Christ. And just think about all the things that draw our affections. Those things that we love. Those things that we make a priority. Those things that we sacrifice for. That cannot bless us. To say, God, I want to set my affections on you. When I pray and take those anxieties, when I thank God for all the good things that he's done, it helps guard my heart. Guard my heart from being distracted. That way, that person that's flirting with you, you just like, no, my affections are not on you. It's on the Lord. I am not going to those things that you want to buy this thing or do this thing that you think will satisfy. You're tempted because you're so hungry for some kind of entertainment or pleasure or resolution to go, no, I realize that my ultimate satisfaction doesn't come from anything this earth can offer, whether it's relationship or stuff, but it comes from you alone. I set my affections on you. It will guard our minds from stinking thinking that is not rooted in Jesus. The peace of God settles our hearts and our minds. I want that kind of peace. I want to enjoy that. Does your heart and mind reflect the peace of God? Ask. You want to know? You can ask your friends. Ask your family. Ask a spouse. Am I at peace? And they might say, sometimes. Or not so much. You get wound up really easy. And you're really not fun to be around. We talked about the peace of Israel, the peace of Abraham, the gift of peace. I want to talk about the peace of Mary. It seems apropos, right? We talked about the Christmas story. Mary, who's like one of the main characters of this event that we talk about, that we celebrate, the birth of Jesus. She's front and center. God sends this angel named Gabriel, who comes from the presence of God to communicate with this young girl. We see it in Luke chapter 1, verse 29 to 37. Greetings, he says, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. That sounds like good news, doesn't it? Greetings. See this amazing angel that kind of is startling in and of itself. God is with you. And Gabriel is no lump on the log. He's intuitive. He can read body language. And he possibly can read her thoughts too. And I say that because how does he respond? He says, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. He sees that look. I don't know about you, but I can't control my face. My wife will say to me, what are you thinking? I say, what do you mean, what am I thinking? I see it on your face. It's like, we can't hide the emotions that are going inside of us. Those who know us can read us like a book, as the saying goes. I can tell when you're anxious. I can tell when you're cranky. I can tell when you're frustrated. I can tell when you're afraid. And so Gabriel responds and says, don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid. And then he tells her the what about his message. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. God saves. The who. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the most important of the how. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And his kingdom will never end. That's to talk about what's planted in our hearts for eternal life. I want to be there. When Jesus takes his throne and takes authority over all creation, because right now this world is not in control of Jesus. He's an influencer. But you look at the ugliness going in the world. The only reason that there's as much good going on in this world is because the Holy Spirit is here. If the Holy Spirit wasn't here working and through believers, you would see hell on earth, which is really not even an indication of how hell would be. In variation, but not in fullness. Because of the Holy Spirit being here, we get to experience something better that God has. That hope that says, this isn't the way it is, but I look forward to the day, Jesus, you take your throne. And then there's some Q&A. Mary says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And Gabriel responds, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. This a miracle, Mary, rightfully, she has enough sense in this. She's settled enough. I don't know about you. Sometimes when I get nervous, I can't even think of questions. You know, like when you're in the doctor, do you have any more questions? Uh-oh. And you walk out and like, some of you tell them what happened. They're like, well, what about this? What about that? I didn't ask. And so Mary asks a question. Say, how is this going to be? It's like, there's some strategic problem here. And the angel says, this is how it's going to happen. It's interesting is because Gabriel goes on. He gives some additional faith-reminding information. Even Elizabeth, he says, your relative is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. I love this last one. For no word from God will ever fail. Will you say that with me? For no word from God will ever fail. That is what Mary, she understands. She is growing in understanding. It's what Abraham, why he could die in peace, because he knew that wasn't the end. He knew there was a story that was unfolding, and God gave him a glimpse of what that was going to be. You and I are participants. I remember when Rich spread out that timeline of humanity from this end of the stage to this end of the stage, and they had, I don't know, six people holding it up. And the reality, you get thousands of years that we are just a speck in humanity. But yet, you and I are participating in this story. It's a privilege. We get to participate in that story. Now, what follows is nothing short but the peace of God. Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. How the heck do you answer like that? Nothing short of the peace of God. End of conversation. No more clarification. And maybe she's like, hey, I just need some processing time. And she goes in her closet or for a walk and is like, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? Or maybe she just has settled. It's okay not to know all the details. What God told me was the most important thing. What Gabriel communicated to me was the most important thing. I don't need to understand everything before I give my answer. I am your servant. Let it be with me just as you said, Gabriel. That is the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Do you see the difference between man's peace and God's peace? Man's peace needs to understand how it's going to be and needs to put things together. God's peace says, God, you're putting it together. You're the one who navigates all these pieces. I just get to trust you. I don't need to understand it all. I need to understand my little tiny assignment, and I need to walk it out faithfully. Not even understanding the impact that we have. Not understanding the comments we make, the faith that we walk in, what happens. That journey of peace. That was Mary's journey. And I just think about Mary. I wonder if part of the reason that God chose Mary for this incredible assignment was that she had already had experience embracing the peace of God. That in that moment, where we are right now, where you are right now, what sets us up for what's ahead is to be able to experience God's peace today. I think there's an honor, you know, highly favored one. How do you get on that list? It was like she trusted God so much that she could say without knowing all the answer, and we know the story, we talked about that last time, about things were not easy. Things were hard. And yet she trusted God, just like her, that was part of her journey of peace, all the way to the crucifixion. When God asks you to do something, do you try to figure it all out? Or do you just say, let it be with me as you say, Lord? The God of peace, Colossians 1, 19 to 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood shed on the cross. The blood of who? Of Jesus. That sacrifice that we talked about of Isaac that would have never satisfied. The sacrifice of all those animals that happened would never satisfy. It was only a picture of a reality of Jesus that brings peace. That brings peace. The only peace that matters is a peace with God. A peace that can only come through the sacrifice and believing in that, in a Savior, that Jesus' blood, his sacrifice, covers it all. All the ugliness of our past, all of the ugliness that we can't even control, that keeps poking his head up, that we say, God, you got it all covered. A peace that is a gift from God, not something we earn, that we just get settled into it. It's like, I know I'm a goofball. I know that I say things that I shouldn't say. Would you forgive me again? That God has it covered. Peace from judgment. Peace from punishment. Peace from having God as an enemy. Anybody here want God as an enemy? The only way we have peace is by putting our faith in Jesus. I love the scripture from Romans 8:1, right? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Peace from condemnation. That's why I talk about that self-talk. If you have condemnation, that self-talk that beats you up, you can know who that's not from. That is not from God. That's from the enemy of our soul and our flesh that wants to somehow earn God's favor and pleasure and forgiveness. And remember, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That supernatural dome of protection that nothing can penetrate, that you stay under, you're out here, you're like meteors and hailstones are going to kill you. You step under here, you don't even hear the tink, tink, tink against the shield. Complete peace. The cone of silence of peace that you get to experience. The birth of Jesus is celebrated. In Luke 2, 13 to 14, from the Message, I love how they say it. At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. That there's a qualification. You know, we always think, and peace on earth, right? It goes beyond that. It says, and peace on the earth, all men and women who please him. That's who God's peace belongs to. I just want to close this last chapter here of talking about how do we pursue, what does our journey of peace look like? How do we engage the peace of God? Hopefully I've sold you on that the peace of God is a good thing. Almost like you're like, I want some of that. Give me some of that. I'm going to share some verses. I'm going to call this one, right living leads to enjoying the God of peace. And I get that from Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And what? And the God of peace will be with you. I want, and I pray that you want, the God of peace to be with you. Paul tells us, he says, this is how you experience it. Whatever is good, whatever is right, what is praiseworthy. I love Paul's adjectives that he uses. Excellent, praiseworthy, life-giving, hope-giving, whatever ends well. Think about these things. The only way you and I can think about those things is with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the peace of God will be with you. That's how you and I get to walk. People say, I don't hear God. I can guarantee when you do what your flesh doesn't want you to do, you are listening to God. God is speaking. Why did you just do something that your flesh didn't want to do? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because God's talking to your heart. Why didn't you just mouth off to that person? Because I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wouldn't end well. God's talking to your heart. And in that place, God is with you. He's walking. He says, come here. Give me a fist bump. Nice job. I'm with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worshiping God, the God of peace, leads to an ongoing process of growth and transformation. That's kind of a Bible kind of word, the word sanctify. Sanctify means to be set apart and made holy. It's what's called an ongoing process of who we are becoming. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind is being transformed. It's in this moment, grow, be growing, continue to grow until God calls us home, whether he returns and come and takes power over the world, or whether we die in peace. That ongoing process, as we worship God, there's a transforming part. And worshiping God is saying, I'm going to choose. I'm amazed, you know, I don't know about you, but my brain thinks some really ugly things sometimes. And sometimes I'm like, where the heck did that come from? And I say, Lord, would you forgive me? I know that's not from you. I'm going to choose, and then I will start naming the stuff I should be thinking about. I'll name, I want wholeness in relationship. I want my wife to be the only person I think about. God, I'm thankful for her. Lord, I'm thankful for the relationships I have. Lord, I'm thankful for the church I get to go through. And in those places, I'm honoring God. I'm worshiping him. I'm worshiping him with my life, with my thoughts, with my choices. I'm worshiping him when I acknowledge that what I'm doing or thinking is not from him. It's not the fact that we fail. It's what do we do when we fail? We give God glory and we worship him when he said, I'm going to walk. Repentance means what? Turn away from something and walk towards something. Sanctification is a process of continually doing that all the time. Because sometimes we turn away from something and we're like, oh, shoot, that's not good either. I'm going to turn away from that. God, would you show me what to turn to? Show me what to think about. And worshiping God, the God of peace, equips us to do His good and pleasing will. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, what? Equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace, that process, as we get shepherded, right? I think most of us know Psalms 23. The shepherd, all the process that happens, sometimes He leads us to that quiet, still water. That says, would you just give me your burdens to me? Be anxious for nothing. That stillness. And other times, He's got that little crook on his staff where He's doing a little burp, burp. And sometimes it's, to straighten us out. And sometimes He's like, you know what? I got this. Yes, you're in the valley of the shadow of death. You could die here. But keep your eyes on me. Don't look away, right? Like Peter walking on water. Eyes here. Why did you doubt? Keep your eyes here. I got you. But Lord, keep your eyes here. Don't but Lord me. Keep your eyes here. And the peace of God will, that passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Worshiping God of peace equips us to do His good and pleasing will. As we walk in relationship with Him, as we enjoy Him, we get to experience His presence. As we worship the God of peace, we submit to the process of growth. To say like it, we're, you know, comparison, quit comparing. We're all in process. And the person that you esteem has got issues you don't even know about. Keep your eyes on Jesus. As we worship the God of peace, we're going to continue to be equipped to do the assignments that He's called us to. The God of peace. How's your journey of peace going? Are you discouraged? Are you like, yeah, I don't even want to go on that journey? Or you're saying, I didn't know that journey was possible. It's not only possible, it's what Jesus came to give us. It's what God intended from the beginning of time. We looked at from Genesis when sin entered the world. He says, I've got a solution for this. Although Satan damaged the world, I'm going to permanently damage him. You can trust me in this. You can trust me in this. Think about it. We talk about the Advent, Nativity, that's what we mean when we talk about peace. The coming of peace. That when we put our faith in Jesus, we don't have to accomplish what He's already accomplished. We just get to walk in it and be transformed by it. Are you ready to trust the God of peace? Are you ready to put your faith in the God of peace? It's interesting when you look at the word peace. Paul begins most of his letters referring to the God of grace and peace. Those two are related. Grace, in a simple definition, is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Okay? That the only way that you and I can experience peace is by getting what we don't deserve. To submit to the God of grace, I don't earn any of this. And in that place that we recognize that grace, we get to have peace with God. It is such a, you know, and you can go, you can jump from there. It's that transforming work of walking in that, that God changes. It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not the hard work of our hearts. It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's what God causes to grow in us. That grace and that peace reveal. Let's pray. Lord, I just feel like enough can't be said. And I've got to leave it and say, you know what? It ain't going to come from the words that I say. It's going to come from your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be evident in this room, would be evident on those online. Lord, that they would experience both your grace that accomplishes our salvation without us doing anything but believing you, and the peace that follows that says, God, you got this. I can trust your word. I can trust that you will fulfill what you promised. And you promised good things. You promised eternal life. You promised that when we walk in trusting you, that we will die in peace, in wholeness, in hopefulness, in completeness, knowing that we are complete because of you, not because we checked all the boxes before we died. But we're die in peace because we die in the ever-loving arms of you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that for us to walk, and as we experience that, it's like, man, I worship Jesus. Thank you so much for being born as a child. God, thank you for sending your son. Lord, I pray that even when things don't go right, that I am an example and reflection of your peace that is not dependent on things going the way I want them to, but are dependent on giving everything to you. Lord, I just ask this morning if there's anyone who wants, recognizes that they want that journey of peace to begin today and say, God, I want to put my faith in you. Whether you're online or in the building, I just ask that you would confess that. That you'd say, raise your hand where you are and say, yeah, I'm ready to begin that journey. And I want to acknowledge that by praying for you. If there's those of you who say, you know what, I'm in all kinds of turmoil and I need God's peace to be covering me so that this world does not rob my peace. If that's you, you're like, I want to step into God's peace and enjoy the life he's given me and not be bitter about things not going well because of the unpeacefulness. If that's you here today, that you want God to bless you with his peace today, raise your hand. Yeah, many of us. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of peace. Lord, I just pray all different circumstances that people face, Lord, that we would obey your word by saying, give it to you. Being thankful for what you've already done for us so that we can walk in that peace, so we can experience walking with you, so we can experience the transformation of that relationship, so that we can experience the hope of what's up ahead. Lord, thank you for the journey you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.